you're gonna keep on selling yourself short one day, and I'm gonna say, preacher, I can't preach, I'm gonna just let you handle it this moment.
That's how it is.
So don't cut yourself down. Oh, me, I tell you what, glad to be here this morning.
Amen.
Glad you're here. This morning I talked to you about something that we need to realize. And before I get into it, I want to ask all you of you something, if you will. If you happen to know of any church that is about ready to build or maybe add on or do some remodeling within the church or something like that, let me know. Because I feel like there's one thing that we could do here to kind of help as far as the heating system and the use of so much oil. And I think if we put two doors back out, coming into the, from vestibule into here. And, but I think if we could get two doors back there, it would help a whole lot. Which I was gonna bring it up Wednesday night, but I just thought I'd let you know. And if you happen to know somebody, or if you happen to know something else different that we can do, we need to, survey it and discuss it and everything, but which this Wednesday night will be. No, it won't. It won't be this Wednesday night. It'll be one more after this one. Yeah, Wednesday week will be the monthly meeting. But this morning, if you will, I got two verses of scripture I want to read, and I'm gonna be relating back and forth to them. But here in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 24, Daniel chapter 3 and verse 24, I want to look at some things today which the Lord provides for us and what God provides for us also. But here in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 24 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God." Here in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 24, it says this. And it says, Behold, let's see. Yeah, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. It said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, today, Father, for this wonderful, marvelous day that you've given us. Father, where we could rise from the bed, Father, where we could be in thy house this morning. Now, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you just give me the unction this morning that I can deliver the message that you've laid upon my heart this morning, Father. And God, I pray, Father, for each one that's come out. Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, they'll have an attentive ear unto the Word of God today. And Father, where we can learn a little more about you, where you never fail us, Father. And you provide everything for us. And Father, we just want to thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Over in the book of Daniel, we're seeing where it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. But back then, Nebuchadnezzar, we can relate that to today. Back then, Nebuchadnezzar, he was promoting his idols. He was promoting what he had going on in his life at that time. And he also, in no doubt, had billboards plastered all around advertising the golden image that he had reared up, and advertised the idols that for them to worship. Now we have the same thing today. We have billboards out here up and down the highway, and it's advertising and what the devil wants upon this world today, and that is sin. We can look at all the billboards out there, and if you don't think so, look at them and read them, and you can see in the point of it where sin is there. Why? Because Satan does not want the Lord Jesus Christ to be here this morning in the services. But like I've said before, many times here at the church, and I'll continue on saying it, these doors is always open for the Lord to come in. And if one individual comes in and brings the Lord in and allows the Lord to do the work within the body of Christ and within the church here, we will have no doubt that the devil will not be there. Because the devil cannot be around where the Lord is at. Because why? Because the God that we serve, I mean the God in heaven that we served, He gave his only begotten son that he would shed his blood for the whosoever will. And if you ever have the devil on your back, if you ever want to get rid of him, you claim the blood. But you know, and something else too I want to talk about while I'm on that subject right there, talking about the blood. But you know, we know we have the blood of Christ that runs through our veins. We've been baptized in his precious blood there at Calvary. And not only that, we can see also that as long as the devil is trying us, as long as the devil is amongst the people, I hear in the world and everything, remember this, that we've got to be doing something right for the Lord, because the devil will not bother you and he will not bother me if we're doing stuff for him, because he don't want to upset us. He don't want to upset us to the point that we're going to be coming back to the Lord God Almighty in prayer. That's the reason he has billboards out here. And he has billboards on every corner of Danville, Pennsylvania County, and all around the world he had billboards. And on them billboards, what do they say? Majority of them are advertising something. They're advertising alcoholic beverage. And sometimes, if you can read into the subject, they're really advertising sin also. We see where they have beautiful women on the billboard. Well, you want me to tell you what? I don't think really that there is a lady that is that beautiful to where they can plaster their face and plaster their body on a billboard. Because I think even today, we have computers. We can take a computer and you can purchase a piece of software for $49.95, and you can go in there and you can brush up that little speck on the face. You can take that little blemish out. You can take that little spot out. Why? Because that's the sin of the world. We must be thankful for what beauty God has given us. I've never seen an ugly individual. Now I'm looking through the eyes of Jesus Christ when I say that. I've never seen an ugly individual. I have never. Since I've been saved. Because every one of them is made into the image of God. And even the individual that's not saved, they are made unto the image of God. So they're not really all that ugly. They may have a frown upon their face, the reason that they may look like they look. But I want to bring you this message today where God does not fail. God is not going to fail you. God's not going to fail me. It don't make a difference what we do. We can go right now. We can leave here to the church today. And we can go out here. And we can get caught up in the sin of this world. But the Lord will never forget about you. He will never forget about me. Because He always provides. He always provides. God will provide and never fail. It is comforting to know that the Lord Jehovah never fails. The Lord Jehovah never fails. You know, I even brought this up one time to the Jehovah Witnesses. I says, do you ever recognize your Jehovah as Lord Jehovah or God Jehovah? They said no. So the only thing that we trust in Jehovah. And I said, you know something? You're going to end up dying and going to hell. I said, because that's the only one that you trust in is Jehovah. You don't trust in Jehovah God. You don't trust in Jehovah Lord. And you sure don't trust in the Holy Spirit. And you cannot go to heaven on just one account. You have got to have all three. You've got to have the body of Christ. You've got to have the Trinity of God. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. And the Lord, He it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Right there tells us that He never fails us. He will never forsake us. He's always there. He's always there when we're on the bed of affliction. And I reckon today I need that more and more because in the last week, I mean, I've really been down because I can't do anything. I mean, really, I'm getting to the point right now, I can't do anything. I have to stay home and rest. I can't even get on my legs hardly. If I do, I can go out here and I can walk for 30 minutes. Or I can get out here and just go riding into an individual's home and walk in and visit for a while. And then I can get up. And I'll stumble. And if I don't watch myself, I'll end up falling. I don't know why all this is happening to me, but I do know one thing. God's in control. God's in control. And sometimes I feel like that I'm slighting you because I cannot do like I started out doing. I don't want you to think that I come down here on false I just didn't come down here just to have a church. I just didn't come down here because that was not my intention just to come here and just to stand and preach. My intention was to come here and to help you, to build you up and build the church up. Because if I can't go out there, I cannot ask someone else to go. But my intentions is go out here in the highways and the hedges and to tell people that yes, Faith Baptist Church is not dead. Faith Baptist Church is still alive. It's still a well today. And we need to get people back here into the house of God. Yes, people's got their they've got their feelings hurt in the past. But praise God, we don't need to dwell on the past. We have to dwell on the very moment that we're in and dwell on the days are coming. Because better days are coming. Better days are coming. We cannot look to the government. We cannot look to other things. We can't look to the welfare department. We can't look to other things. We have got to look to God. Because better days is coming. And who's going to bring the better days? The Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father. And who's He going to give it to first? He's going to give it to the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit's going to give it to us. The Holy Spirit's going to give it to me. Now I love when the Holy Spirit just opens up a breeze from heaven and just comes by and just breathes on me and slaps me upside the face. I love it. But I tell you, we don't have much of that anymore. We don't have many preachers that will preach on the Holy Spirit. They won't preach on thus saith the word of the living God. They won't preach on the word of God has been settled there in heaven. They won't preach it anymore. They want to preach it by things. Things. And if I don't watch my own self, I can get caught up in that also. I don't need to preach on things. I don't need to preach. I don't need to go to that sinner right here that's lost and tell them, you know, you need to be in church. You're lost. You're a sinner. I don't need to do that. You know why? Because, see, they already know they're lost. They already know they're lost. They know, and if they was in church at one time and they're out of church, they're miserable. They know that they need to get back in church. Even some of the people that was here that's not coming no more. Some of them don't even go to church no more. They know that they need to be in church. I don't have to go out there and tell them. They know that. What I need to do, what we need to do, is go to them and be a friend to them. We need to go and be a friend to them. That they can trust us enough to where it says, you know, I need somebody to talk to. I don't know who to talk to. Because they've got so far out of connection with God. They don't think about going back to God, talking to God. But if you happen to call one of us, we don't need to ask no questions or anything. We need to say, well, I'm here to listen. That's all we can do is listen and pray for them. All we can do is listen and pray for them. That to get back in church, to get back under the gospel, get back to the Word of God. The Word of God has been taken out of the house of God. The Holy Spirit never fails. The Holy Spirit has never failed me since the day that I got saved. Since the day that the Holy Spirit brought conviction to my soul. He has never failed me. But I failed Him day after day. But He has never failed me. John chapter 14 and verse 6 says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. A whole lot of people are taking that word right there, comforter, and they're using that word comforter, comforter today. They're using it, my helper. Which Jesus Christ is my helper. The Holy Spirit is my helper. God the Father is my helper. But they're also, in the right perspective, you have to call them by the rightful name. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. I don't say Jehovah. And then I don't say Savior. And I don't say my helper. I say God the Father. Why do I say God the Father? Because He is my daddy. He's my papa. He's my all. Everything I want, He has. And He's going to do everything He can to help me in the right way, to lead me to the place that He wants me to be at. And I know, and I know I feel like I've let y'all down, but I hope and pray that if I have, that y'all will forgive me for it. But that has not been my intention at all. I try my very best to seek the Lord's help. Sometimes I'll work on a message all week long, and then Sunday morning I get up and he says, "You're going to have to preach it later." And it's tough. But I thank God that He never fails. Just like a preacher friend of mine, he's dead now and gone. But Johnny Tickle, I heard his last message at a preacher's fellowship right before he passed away. He rode with me and Brother James to the fellowship down in, on the other side of South Boston, but down at Buffalo Junction. And first time he'd been to a fellowship in a long time, many years. But a whole lot of the preachers knew him. And they asked him, says, called the first preacher up there. And the moderator looked. Said, "Preacher, come on up here, preach." Pointed right to Brother Johnny Tickle. "You got to know Johnny Tickle. I tell you what, he was a man that loved God. He really did. But he said this. He said, I didn't come here to preach. He said, I come here to be preached to. I need some preaching too. He said, yeah, but the Lord laid on my heart for you to come and preach this morning." He got up, walked to the pulpit. He said, "I don't know what I'm going to preach on. I ain't got nothing on. I'm not prepared to preach this morning." And he got up and started praying. And he said this. He said, the Holy Spirit told him, he says, "Son, I want to tell you something. I didn't save you for you not to be ready. Says my Father in heaven, He's given us 66 books. I know that you can pick one book and preach from it.
And the book that he preached out of that day was Acts chapter 2. Day of Pentecost.
Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. He preached, and he preached hard. I still got this message at the house. But we must always mind the Spirit of God. Always. That's just not up to the pastor. That's up to each and every individual that is saved. We must be submissive unto the Holy Spirit. We must be mindful of what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. The Holy Spirit is given to men to stay by Him and in Him. Each believer receives an appropriate blessing from the Holy Spirit. The Lord's compassion never fails. Jehovah God never fails. The Holy Spirit never fails. The Lord's compassion never fails. His love for me never fails. His love for you never fails. Yes, we get down in the dumps. We have this sinful nature, which is called the flesh. And sometimes it gets by with a whole lot. We allow it to get by with a whole lot. In the book of Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not." I'm so thankful today that He loved me enough the way He could look down in time, and He could see that, and he would know that there would be an individual that would be birthed into this world, and his name would be Donald May. He is the only one. He is the only one that could look down in time for that. But I'm thankful that He did. And I'm thankful that He went to the cross. I'm thankful that He hung between two thieves. I'm thankful that He hung between heaven and hell. Why? So I would have a way to be pardoned. Where I could have a way to be redeemed. Where I could have a way just have some kind of compassion toward other people and love toward someone else. Until I got saved, I didn't love nobody. I didn't love people. Matter of fact, my family, I didn't even love my family because of the way I acted. I'm not talking about my wife and my daughter. I'm talking about my immediate family. My mother, my stepfather, and my brothers. I didn't care anything about them because of some of the things that I done, the way I acted. But I'm so glad. And don't get me wrong, don't take this in the wrong way. But I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart and brought me under conviction before the Baptist church got a hold of me. Because if the Baptist church had got a hold of me,
I'd have been just as lost today as like a whole lot of them are. Why? Because they come into the church, they get right on in, they just kind of mingle, say, oh, how you doing today? Yeah, they can come in, they can act like a Christian. They come to church, they can act like a Christian. What are they going to do outside the door? How are they going to act out there? That's where the test comes in. The test is not coming in. The test is not for them to come in here and for us to judge them in here. The test is for them to go out here and go up down the highway and go into the stores. That's the test. That is a test to tell you what a true Christian is when they can go out here and show the love for the world.
I'll never forget this. As long as I live, I'll never forget it. There was a lot, you know, that was probably several years after I got saved. I was in church, and I still knew there was something missing down deep. And what it was, yes, I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart, save my soul. But I did not ask him to be the Lord of my life that day. That's what I was missing there for some years. The Lord of my life. And when he became the Lord of my life, when I asked him, I said, Lord Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to be what you want me to be. And in saying that, it wasn't long. It wasn't but a matter of a few weeks. The Holy Spirit came by and I felt a breeze. And I felt the breeze before, but I just thought it was the, you know, air condition come on, just blowing through the vents. But I was sitting in church. Just hadn't been long surrendered to call to preach. And I was sitting the third pew back on the right hand side from up here. And I felt that breeze. I felt it a little stronger. It slapped me upside the face like that. I mean, it was strong. And I said, thank you, Lord. I spoke out. Some of the people in his church, someone would, you know, they would say amen, raise their hand, stuff like that. But it wasn't that many. Man, I started. Right then I started. If the pastor said something I agreed with him on, I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
But one Tuesday, I believe it was, one Thursday, I forgot when it was. I was at the mall. I was there walking with Brother James because he hadn't been long, just got out of the hospital down Duke and had up Mark surgery. We was at the mall. One of the other individuals over there, he come around and he was telling Brother James and everything. This is before I got there. Says, you know, boy, that we were praying for. He said, yeah. He said, he just got saved last night. When I got there, Brother James was telling me the same thing. Yeah, I was in the middle of the mall over there walking. I lift my hand toward heaven like that, and I says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Satan ain't got them all yet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I said, well, hey, what can they do? They can't do them a run now. But I'll be back tomorrow. Because it's a public place. They can't keep you out of a public place. They want to try. But they can't keep you out. We must remember that the Trinity of God will never fail us. Never fail us. Because he's going to do. And he's going to. Everything that he promises in his word from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. All the promises that is in this book right here. He fulfilled every one of them. If you have a question, if somebody comes up to you and asks you a question about what about this and what about that, you may not know the answer to that question right then. But you just tell them, say, well, I know where I can go find the question. Go find the answer, and I'll get back in touch with you. Go to this. You don't need to go to no dictionary. You don't need to go to no, spend $50 to go see no doctor, nothing like that. If you ain't got one, you can spend $3.95 for King James Version of the Bible. It's got the answer right here. Might take you a little while to find it, but I promise you, it's right here. And we need to take the Word of God, and we need to take it, and we need to let people know how we stand, what we stand on. I stand on the Word of God. That's what the three individuals brought to my house that afternoon. That's what they took, the King James Bible, read scripture from it, won it to the Lord, and I sure don't need something else that man's made. Because what man's gonna, what they've made, if I read that, something's wrong. And I'll tell anybody, don't read it. Pick up a King James Bible. And always remember that if they don't have a King James Bible, we need to do what we can to try to get a King James Bible in the hand. Because this is the oldest and it's the most popular Bible that there ever has been.
Right.
It ain't today. It ain't today. It's not popular today. It's not even popular in the independent fundamental Baptist churches today. A whole lot of them don't use it today. Why? Because they got little boards hanging on the wall there. And they, well, last week we had, they look at the numbers. We don't need to look at numbers. We need to look at souls. It's dying and going to hell. And we don't need to look at them to the point that, hey, if we win them to the Lord, yes,
We'd love for them to come here. Come and try us out. But if you can't come here, go somewhere. Find a church. I've had individuals call me from Georgia. The parents would be living here in Danville. And I had people as far away as Georgia to call me and ask me, do you know any good Bible-believing churches down here that you would recommend? And I'd get their address exactly where they're at and everything. And then I would call some of the preachers that I know who've been that way. I'll call them and I'll ask them, I said, you know where such and such place is at? Yeah. I said, how far are they from you? They said, probably 10, 20, 30, 40 miles. I said, you know any good Bible-believing churches that believes in King James Bible around that little town or county or city, where it's at? And they give me a name of it. And I call the individual back and I tell them. And then they call me back. They said, thank you. We went and visited and we liked the church. We're still going out and we're waiting to make the decision to join or not. And I've even had the pastors to call. And they asked me, says, where are you from? I said, Danville, Virginia. Well, how did you know so-and-so in Danville? I said, well, somebody in Danville asked me to look for my church down there. And I said, I found one. And I said, church he was pastor. It was about 30 miles away, up 35 miles out of town. And I said, and he recommended your wooden, so I started inquiring about the church, checking you out and everything, and I said, same sound to me. I said, I ain't ever heard you preach. I said, but you same sound to me. He said, well, I appreciate it. He said, I appreciate them coming too. And he said, they've been coming ever since the first started coming. They've been coming for like a month and a half, almost 2 months now. And he said, I appreciate it. It's not about me and my little group of people or me and my family. It's not about us no more. It's about the kingdom of God. And if we'll realize that, if we'll get that place on our mind, then we won't have to worry about other things. We won't have to worry about the church growing. It's going to grow by name. I'd rather hear people say, you like their faces, I'm going to tell you one thing. Doing something like that. And you know, I've even had preachers, and I've had individuals that say, preacher, you know something? He said, you don't realize it, but you got yourself in a bind. I said, what do you mean? He said, we're no more people than what you've got out there. There's no way that you can be able to support us. You believe it. I said, well, hey, if we had 3,000 people like that, I still couldn't have done it. I said, I'm going to trust the same God with 10 or 15 people as you will trust your people that you have 1,000 to get it done. I said, God owns it all in the hands. He is. It's not mine. It's His to you. We have to be submissive unto Him. Yeah. And I believe we're going to have a good one. I believe we're going to have a good revival. We had a wonderful revival last September. And I'll tell you, yeah. I'm looking for this year to be a great year. But I won't need y'all's help. I'm going to need, well, as long as my leg, pleasure, I'm going to need y'all's help as far as just keep cheering me on. Because you can ask my wife, and you can ask her. I'm been a little down this week because I got to wait another week and go to the doctor and give him some more blood, and then I got to wait another week to go hear from him. they will end up taking all the blood, and then they. And then they're going to do a blood transfusion. The last blood transfusion I had put back in 1963, and I can't give blood today. And my blood's so messed up, I can't take penicillin, I can't take nothing for it. My blood's just messed up. This is a surgery that I had back then. Plus, y'all keep cheering her on. I mean, really, y'all do. I mean, I know she has a bar at the house. I know she has. I'm pitying her. Because it's in the wonderful and lovely name of the Lord.